The law, country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, December the 1st, 2005. Month number 12, gotta love it. This would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. Just by listening to this program, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit, which means that you can do whatever you like with it, because once you record this and once you download it, it's yours to do with as you see fit. The only thing is, you can make money with it. Because, well, you know, as we all know, making money is bad, or at least, you know, that's what... Well, that seems to be sort of the issue. As soon as you make money with stuff, things get kind of weird. You ever notice that? As long as nobody's making any money, everything seems kind of friendly. But the minute money gets involved, everything gets messed up. Very strange how that works. I'm not too sure exactly how that works exactly, but, you know, something to think about. So let's get into some feedback here. Dear Sean, let's get some very direct and straight answers from you, Sean. Uh-oh, I'm getting quizzed. Are you in the reserves or in the full army? Okay, now, I thought I'd post about this, but I will address this again. I was in the Reg Force Army. I have now decided that I'm going to join the reserves. Now, there is a point I would like to make here, which a lot of people don't seem to understand. When you sign up to join the Army, what happens is that you sign a contract, which is a full-time employment contract, for about 3 years. And you can't get out of that contract. You can't just go, oh, I'd like to be gone, and that's it. You're done. Basically, that means then that you can be beasted pretty savagely in the Army, and you can't leave. Now, in the reserves, you can leave anytime you want to, but the beasting remains the same. So that means that everybody who's in the reserves are there because they choose to be there. They are there because they choose to be soldiers, and they choose to follow that lifestyle. They're not doing it because that's their only job. They're doing it out of love. It's kind of like the Linux versus Microsoft thing. You know, there's a lot of people would say that, well, if it's not a paying, you know, gig, blah, 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 then they're not, it's not the real Army. Well, unfortunately, the way it works in Canada is Canada goes and decides, oh, we're going to send a bunch of people to Africa. Okay, how many soldiers we got that can go to Africa? They do a quick tally. We got 600 guys that can go to, we have 600 positions open to send to Africa. But we've only got 450 guys who can go over there, so that means we need 150 slots filled. So what they do then is they go out to the Army, or to the reserves, rather. And they say, okay, for basic positions, anything from medics to radio people to whatever, whatever's needed. And they say, we need to fill up these 150 slots. So they go to the reserves and say, who wants to go? Who's qualified? Blah, 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 blah. They farm that out, and then they fill in the rest of the regiment with reservists, and then they send them off. So it's one complete force when it goes. So you're working right there with, like, there's no little R on your uniform or everything. Everyone is the same uniforms. Everybody does the same thing. The enemy shoots at you just in the same way. It's just in how you are hired out. It's less expensive for the Army to use reservists than it is to use the Reg Force. And a lot of people give reservists a hard time. They're like, oh, yeah, but you're not in the real Army. Well, yeah, they are, because they go to the real places the real Army goes. They're really getting shot at. They do exactly the same job. It's just that when they come back, they don't just sit around on base and, you know, and punch a clock. Not that I have anything against the full-time Army, but that's how it is. And so it's kind of unfortunate that the reservists or National Guard have this kind of stigma to them. Now, I don't know how it works in the States, okay, but that's how it works in Canada with the reservists in Canada. Now, granted, sometimes there's a little bit of a discipline problem going with reservists in Canada. There's a lot of shit pumps in the reserves. That's true. But generally, the regular force army manages to sort these guys out once they show up and they start working with the regs. Things get a little bit, shall we say, turned up. So the keenest soldiers that I've ever met were always in the reserves because, or at least the desire, and they had the heart to be the keenest soldiers because, well, they did it because they loved the trade. So, but as for me, I'm going into the reserves, which means that I would parade on weekends. I would go out 2-3 times a week unless I get a contract, in which case I could leave for a summer or 3-4 months at a time. Now, what happens is when that happens, you go out, you do courses and whatever else. So you're kind of here and gone. It's like a part-time traveling job. It's kind of a cool gig. And I myself am joining into a signals regiment where I get to do all the groovy comms, computer stuff. And or, you know, you can throw on a man pack and go booting around with the infantry, kicking in doors and stuff. So that's what I'm going to be doing. But, I mean, I'm not even trained. I was an artilleryman. So I have to go off and do all my training. And they may not even let me in. I'm not even officially in yet. I've been in the process of joining now for quite some time. So it's like, you know, they got to jump through a bunch of hoops and get the paperwork all set up. And it's all these things take time. It's the Army. Hurry up and wait. So that's all that's really happening there with that. I'm still, you know, home a lot, all the rest of it. Okay, so that's just to nail that down once and for all. Please don't ask again. What's the best kind of laptop to get? Couldn't tell you. Depends what you're doing with it. Please check what your intentions are to do with the laptop and then go from there. I have no idea. I am not a laptop guru. And besides, even if I were to say something, I'm sure I would get shot right out of the saddle. You're not stopping, but instead you're moving to once a week basis, which is my newsreel show. Yes, newsreel is continuing on. It's going to once a week. Samarian and I will do the show once a week, because the once a week shows are generally considered better anyway. So, you know, or pardon me, the news shows with Samarian on them are considered better anyhow. So, you know, I figured that what the hell, we may as well do it once a week. As long as I'm around. If I happen to go away to like some foreign country somewhere, then chances are not. Number four, I should use a knife that's not all metal while opening a garage door to avoid a horrid shock. You should never use knives when opening garage doors. All of that is fake. None of it is real. The entire thing is completely a fraud. Is there for entertainment purposes only. Number five, Sim eats meat? Question mark. Yes, Sim is not vegan. Sim dines on beef all the time. He is nothing but a savage, total, you know, total bloodthirsty meat eater. All this vegan shit we've said for years is completely a lie. Number six, what do you think would be the best way to bring airsoft to my community? Well, I would make sure that your local laws do not prohibit you from playing airsoft. I'd get a couple of cheap airsoft guns and start with your buddies, start small, and go from there. Number seven, the Sasquatch are how tall? According to reports, they vary in size between 7 to 12 feet tall. Generally, I wouldn't go after anyone with anything less than a 308, but that's just me. Number eight, could you bug Sim to release the footage of the original season 2? I really wanted to see you and Uncle Dak talking. It's weird to see people talk when all you've seen is their voice. Consider him bugged. And finally, number nine, what should I get on my dog tags? My friends making everyone dog tags for Christmas, and I have 4 lines with a maximum of 10 letters per line. But it can be double-sided, so I need something for both sides. Well, if he's making dog tags, I don't recommend you get a double-sided because, well, the stamps come through and it's not really that hot. But what I would do is I would generally put the name, I would have your name on there. I would have your GPS grid coordinates for your house and, you know, your blood type. That would probably be what I would put on there. And that was from Listful. So there you go. Hope that clears a few things up. Listful. Number two here, I got, Dear Sean, to clear up a misconception that some may have about depression. Well, depression, this is good. Being in a family whose head is a psychologist. Of course, this is, you know, I guess his dad or mom is a psychologist. Though he, I guess, is his dad. Is losing his mind himself due to recent events. That's always true. You know, psychologists, they always seem to be going rather batty. I don't know if I agree with a lot of psychology. You know, not to pull the Scientology angle on you here, but there's a lot of these guys seem really fucked up. One has the advantage of gaining certain psychological knowledge that others might not get. That's true. Being in a family with one of these guys, you get, you know, pretty much the straight dope. For starters, the thing that kids keep getting these days isn't depression. It's usually just mood swings or if ever in extremity, bipolar disorder. If someone tells you they're depressed and bipolar, slap them because they're full of it. Bipolar disorder has to do with being extremely happy and extremely sad. Your peaks are either massive, and they tend to flip pretty fast from one to the other. Now, as for depression, depression has to do with feeling little or nothing emotionally. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Feeling little or nothing. You don't get too happy. You don't get too sad. You don't get too anything. Scared, excited, etc. Ooh, that's kind of... So you're like numb. More extreme cases will feel none of these things, but will just feel a lot less... Or more cases will feel none of these things, but most will just feel a lot less instead. Well, in that case, you know, on a personal level, if you don't mind me bearing my soul here a little bit, I guess I'm probably suffering from depression because I've been pretty numb. You know, and you got to think guys like Dan Rather. I mean, I can't imagine him being too incredibly, you know. Well, I mean, I can't really talk for Dan Rather. But you look at a newscaster, they never really seem to have emotion. So that would be a state of depression. People who could do that without any passion or depression in their lives, you know, that would seem to be. Of course, bear in mind, too, I've got to, you know, do this show every day where, you know, you got to put tone, pitch, intonation, put some emotion into the show. So maybe just doing an hour-long sermon 5 days a week has drained me of certain emotional content. That could be it, too. One of the reasons I mention this is that recently I found that I've been depressed for about 4 or 5 years now. Does this bother me? No, not really. I find it's an advantage. That unless you're clouted with mental blocks that can make some serious mistakes. So really, maybe there's another way we can look at this depression thing. It seems to have its perks. Regards, Finn. Well, that's true. You know, there are some certain perks to not being an emotional basket case. You know, it's weird to be happy all the time. You know, it's kind of not really healthy. A lot of these guys take a lot of drugs to make them happy all the time. Like, da-da-da-da-da, nothing really affects me. I just feel fan-fucking-tastic. Now, that to me seems to be a lot more deranged, you know. And there's only a certain amount of spin you can put on this stuff before you realize that, no, I'm medicated. No, dude, you're high. Okay, you're high. You're not medicated, you're high. You're walking around fucking stoned all the time. Well, let's cut the crap here. You're doing drugs, you're feeling great all the time, and it's just, you know, life is a big party, then you're high. I mean, not that that's bad, I guess, you know, maybe you might want to consider. I guess that's a different sort of call, whether or not it's a good thing to be high all the time. But, I mean, I can't imagine your brain, once it gets used to having these drugs in its system, you will never know joy unless you're on drugs. This is why, you know, people who do drugs find out that, you know, eventually they feel like they want to die. Now, in some spin, listen to this story here, in freaking news. Now, I talked about these guys before. Dinner shared by a group of friends at a well-appointed Greenwich Village apartment featured eggplant parmesan with salad mixed of greens and avocado dressing. The guests had already snacked on hors d'oeuvres of smoked mozzarella and crackers. Not bad considering the diners find their food by digging through the garbage. They call themselves freegans, a play on words, vegan vegetarians who avoid all animal products including dairy and free. It is an ideological rejection of consumer waste. They only eat food that's been discarded. And in New York City, at least, they never go hungry. We find more food than we could possibly eat, says Adam Wiseman. Just 24 hours before the dinner party, he found a hefty stash outside of a gourmet supermarket in Manhattan. Bags of salad near the selling date, dozens of sandwiches, boxes of Ritz crackers, and some nice-looking squash, and loads of still-crisp baguettes. Although not all freegans are vegan, they still eat for free. Wiseman said, with a few exceptions, he has not eaten store-bought food, either at home or in restaurant or as guest of a friend, in more than 10 years. Wiseman and others say they have mixed feeling about Thanksgiving, which Wiseman called basically a celebration of excess. This is what this Wiseman guy says. Madeline Nelson, the host of Freegan Dinner Party, who says she recently left a job in corporate communications at a Fortune 500 company, says she's concerned about holiday overconsumption. We're heading into a wasting season, says Nelson, who's serving semi-freegan Thanksgiving dinner to her family, including her 83-year-old father. The study suggests that freegans may have a point. Timothy Jones, an anthropology professor at the University of Arizona, conducted a 10-year study that concluded the country wastes 40 to 50% of its food. A 1997 U.S. Department of Agriculture study puts the losses at 27% of total U.S. food production, or 96 billion pounds of food are wasted. The number one problem is that Americans have lost touch with what food is for, is what Jones said. We have lost touch with the process that brings it to the table, and we don't notice the inefficiency. Some freegans hope to call attention to food waste by publicizing their unusual lifestyles. Wiseman runs a website for Freegans Community, offering practical tips like which city's trash bins yield the best treats in places from Vancouver to Cincinnati. Okay, well, I'd like to pull a Child's on Fire alert here. I mean, they're calling themselves freegans, but let's be real, you're rooting around in the garbage for food. Okay? That's what derelicts do. That's what bums do. You root around in a garbage bin for food. You don't know why the food was discarded. You have no idea. Maybe somebody spit on the food. Maybe somebody pissed on the food. Maybe somebody just, you know, decided to pour bleach on the food, which some fast food restaurants do to keep the homeless people from going through their trash. They pour toxins on the food, which is their trash. They can pour whatever they want on the trash. So, you know, I'm all for, you know, doing whatever it takes to survive. Don't get me wrong. But to go rooting through the trash in your neighborhoods for food and then, you know, taking this total derelict lifestyle and calling yourself a freegan, like, fuck you, guy. This is bullshit. You know, I mean, where is your self-respect? I personally, unless things were looking pretty bleak for the Seanster here, I couldn't really see myself rooting through the garbage for food. Now, I know people who've done that, you know, and it's not really the number one choice. I enjoy having a little bit of money. I enjoy eating out in restaurants. I enjoy good food, you know, and it's this total, like, what, you got to live like you're some third world vagrant in order to be morally on the high ground? Fuck that. I'm not digging through garbage for food. You could kiss my ass. I'd rather get a job, work some, make some decent money, go to the supermarket and buy some food that I want. Not just take what other people throw the fuck away. I mean, there's that old concept of the weak inheriting the earth. Yeah, but that's only after the strong people are done with it. So, I'm sorry, man. I can't get behind this freaking thing. That, to me, I mean, you can dress up rooting through the trash for food any way you want. But you're still rooting through the trash for food, yes? We are wasting a lot of food. That is not up for a point. Absolutely. I would say that we could be doing more with the food we're throwing out. Rather than throwing that food out, it should be going to homeless shelters. Or we should do something with the expiry dates, find out when, you know. So if there's people starving and stuff, because there are people starving. Maybe some of these restaurants could have, like, food or a card for people. Instead of having food stamps, they have some sort of a method that we can keep track of people who are super low income. They can go to these restaurants and get food that's, you know, semi sort of, you know, on would be still okay to eat and stuff. But then you got the people who'd want to take advantage of that situation and just be like, well, I want to qualify for that food because I'm eating the same food as the other guys. Yeah. I don't know. You know, maybe, I guess it's all right. I mean, they're making their own call to go and root through the garbage for food. I can't really stop them from doing it. I mean, but me personally, if they're like, come on over, Sean, I just dug a bunch of food out of the garbage. Let's eat it. My response would be, no, man. Thanks. I think I'll pass on that shit. Now, in recruiting news, now, Sim loves it when I talk about recruiting. He thinks this is fantastic because his statement is, you know, oh, Sean's answer for everything is join the Army. Join the Army, it's his answer for everything. Well, you know, and there's a lot of people who would say that, but a lot of people don't have any answers at all, so at least I am putting out an answer to people who are in a desperate situation. But, you know, I digress. In recruiting news, they're talking about us lying, but look at this, complained Army Staff Sergeant Blanco. He declined to give his first name. Holding up a flyer of a group of anarchists was distributing recently outside of an armed forces recruiting center in Brooklyn. It says we work on commission and get paid more than the recruits we sign up. If that was true, I'd be driving a Lexus. We set up a tent to be out, and we'd set up a tent and be out here 24/7 if we were paid on commission. Which is, I mean, what a shock, you know, these wonderfully bleeding heart psycho anarchists who have no idea what the fuck they're talking about are talking out their ass and lying to the public. But anyway, build on NYC Indie Media as a chance to strike at the Achilles heel of the war machine, the small street demo drew far more cops than anarchists. But for the Army and Marine recruiters milling outside their empty offices in Flatbush Avenue, it was yet another hurdle in a job that's getting tougher by the day. From San Francisco, where voters just passed a measure aimed at kicking recruiters out of public schools and off college campuses, to East Harlem, where about 75 people gathered to protest the opening of new recruitment office on East 103rd Street, recruiters are finding themselves in the crosshairs of the anti-war movement. Now, I don't really understand why they're against the recruiting office going in. I don't understand that. It's like we have a place where we're offering jobs. And no matter what they tell you, a job in the Army at least has a little bit more of a future than, say, a job at McDonald's. But you don't see anybody protesting the McDonald's opening up. Buoyed. That's an interesting term. Buoyed by falling enlistment rates, peace activists of all stripes are now see draining the supply of new soldiers as a more hands-on way to stop the war in Iraq. Now, nobody likes war, okay? The person who likes the war the least is the soldier because they're over there fighting that shit, okay? And I understand that there's a certain, draw to doing the peace activist thing. It's great fun, good parties. Everybody gets together, tries to be holier than thou. They all climb the moral high ground, and they all are all like, claiming that, we got to stop the war. We're fighting against it. No, you're actually not. All you're doing is creating problems. You're trying to raise awareness, and that's cool. But, what you're doing here, this is very quickly turning against, people against the soldiers because, oh, it's your ideology, you fucking horrible people. Okay. It's better than marching around in circles, says Brian, a dumpster-diving squatter from Brooklyn. So he's actually a freegan squatter, but he's not a squatter. He's, I guess he's living for free, so he's actually a bum. So this derelict says it's better than marching around in circles, because that's what they do in the Army. They march around in circles. To be fair, yes, they do march around in circles. I'm pretty certain they do more than just march around in circles, though. As it would stand, you probably get a paycheck and stuff as well, and you have a job. But anyway, this dumpster diving squatter, also known as a bum from Brooklyn, as he presented leaflets and pamphlets on high school kids and other passersby in hope of dissuading any new potential GIs. Now, the last person I want giving my child any kind of direction in life is some guy who eats out of a trash can and doesn't pay rent and has no fucking job. I mean, look at you. You're fucking nothing. I can't believe this. It's like, okay, it'd be a little bit different if this guy had some kind of a job. He was a member of society and was doing good things. But he's a dumpster diving squatter. He's a bum. And I was like, oh, this is terrible. Okay. You're probably an okay dude. You just need to realize that you're not qualified to make that statement. In the past year, Army enlistment has fallen off target by more than 6,600 soldiers. Not a big surprise, because nobody wants to go to war. War is a horrible fucking thing. Good chance of getting shot. Kind of scary. The biggest shortfall since 1979. Recruiting for the National Guard and Army Reserves has been worse. Among African Americans, Army enlistment has dropped 40% since 2000. A fact not lost on recruiters posted in Flatbush. Now, I don't really understand why it's important to distinguish race in recruiting, because everybody does the same job, but whatever. He goes on to say, We don't have the revolving door anymore, said Army Staff Sergeant Arundel, a Brooklyn native who was also declined to give his first name. Before, a lot of people were rocking in. Now you really have to go out and hustle. Arundel shrugged. Nobody in New York has anything good to say about the war. Interesting. Well, I mean, nobody should have anything good to say about war anyway, because war is, again, a terrible idea. If we continue at this pace, guess what's next? A draft! An African-American sergeant sitting in his desk to him chimed in. What are we going to do then as a country? Are people going to Canada? Then you've actually forced the government to do that because you've stopped people who want to voluntarily serve by giving them a lot of flack for it. What kind of democracy would we have then? I mean, he's got a point. Now, although, I would say that it's not up for a DuBois here. I understand that I'm not pro-war, okay? You need to understand this. But the one thing is that the country, be it good, be it bad, your country is at war. This is what they are doing. Now, if you do not like this, you must vote out your officials, okay? But if they bring in a draft, this will be horrific if they bring in a draft. Drafted soldiers are not motivated soldiers. It is absolutely fucking horrific. Not everyone should be in the Army. There are people who have no place in the Army, okay? But, and that's because of their personality, how they are as people, blah, 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 blah. But unless those of us who can handle it step up, there will be a lot of people unnecessarily put in harm's way who have no purpose in being there. And in, because they are not, you know, they just don't have what it takes, nothing wrong with you, I can't play hockey. I can't play basketball. No good at the game. I happen to be somewhat okay at the Army game. So, you know, I'll go play that game. I'm not so good with the math game, so I don't do that. Everybody's got their strengths and their weaknesses, okay? And for every person who's got the skills who go in and they say, yeah, all right, I'm going to do this and maybe I'll come out of it ahead, then they take away a spot that is from a person who has no place being there. I do not want to see a draft in the United States. It would be fucking horrible. It would, oh my God, that would be terrifying to me if there was a draft in the United States. You know, I've never agreed with a conscription army. I think there's a certain point to doing a couple years of military service, but in a time of war, drafting people to go to war is a really bad idea. And it, you know, you wind up with hardcore disciplinary problems. It's a real fucking nightmare to try to command something like that. So, you know, I don't know where you want to go with this, but I would have to say that I would definitely be one to try to avoid the draft. I would like to see that gone. I, you know, whatever steps you have to take to avoid the draft, I think is fine. Not saying you should join the Army to avoid the draft. That's kind of ridiculous. But to have homeless people with no direction in their lives who, you know, really shouldn't be giving advice to anybody. They should be, you know, stopping being, you know, homeless and focusing on how to sort out their own life. Trying to tell kids how to live their lives is fucked up. You know, of course, could be argued, Sean, what are you? Who are you to tell anybody how to live their life? That's true, too. You know? But, I don't know. I mean, I guess then it comes into a personal judgment of the person. But you should always do that, I guess. You should always look at, consider the source. Like, what's your source? People consider the source. There's lots of people think I'm fucking insane. I'm a total psychopath over here. Who the hell wants to listen to me? You know? I mean, really. But some people would say that they agree with my ideology. Some people would say they don't. That's fine. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is whenever you take advice from anyone, make sure you check the fruit on the trees before you settle in an orchard. Consider the source, people. Consider the source. Now, in Microsoft news, this is also considering the source here. Microsoft asked for references to freeze... Pardon me, let me try that again. I'm still pissed off about that homeless guy. In Microsoft news, Microsoft asked for references to free software to be removed from a document presented at last week's UN World Summit on the Information Society WSIS conference, the software giant admitted on Friday. The Free Software Foundation Europe, FSFE, is unhappy that the document was changed and claims that even though it was on the panel discussing the document, it was not made aware of Microsoft's changes. The document, known as the Vienna Conclusions, sounds very treaty-ish, doesn't it, discusses issues around IT and creativity. The original draft of the document discussed how the free software model is changing the way people do business. Quote, increasingly, revenue is generated not by selling content and digital works, as they can be freely distributed at almost no cost, but by offering services on top of them. The success of free software model is one example, end quote, stated the original document according to the FSFE. But the final version of the document contains no reference to free software. Increasingly, revenue is generated by offering services on top of contents, states the final version of the document. Thomas Lutz, a manager for public affairs with Microsoft Austria, asked for this section to be deleted as it contains only a one-sided perspective on the ICT industry. The rationale for this, that is the aim of free software, is not to enable healthy business on a software, but rather make it impossible to make any income on software as a commercial product, he added. I see. Lutz's comments were posted on a conference blog by George Craig, the president of SFFE, who was involved in drafting the section of the document, claims that no one on his panel was aware of the blog until last week. Grieve criticized Lutz's comments on as Microsoft propaganda. Corporate propaganda. Very interesting. The wording here, getting kind of political. This is so obviously stupid and nonsensical that it seems pointless to comment on it. Just another monopolist trying to uphold their monopoly by preventing the freedom of markets, which is what free software really aims at, he said on his blog. Now, it's interesting how corporations are growing in power, isn't it? How they affect the transmission of information. Truly, especially corporations like Microsoft, are the gods of our time. This is the age of the core political. The corporation is currently the new god. I mean, when you think about it, point to Starbucks. Well, you know where their temples are. And you know where their little acolytes are. You got your lowly monks, and then you got your priests, and you have your high priests, and you have your bishops. And somewhere up the chain, you have the Pope of Starbucks. I mean, you go down to the Seattle office, you got that clock with the woman on the top peering down over the city. I mean, the whole thing looks pretty temple cultish, if you ask me. All these green colors and everything. Of course, it could be argued the army is pretty temple cultish, too, but I digress. I don't like their army. But to be honest with you, I mean, when you think about it, like the whole Microsoft thing, I know some people work for Microsoft. They're big fans. Big fans of the company. Why not? That's where the side of the bread, it's buttered, you know? They got to make money. Everybody's got to make money. But you got to understand that corporations are not real. No one's working for anyone. They're working for a corporation. Everyone answers to the corporation. It's like this imaginary entity that lives longer than people and even countries do. It's interesting. Not saying it's good, not saying it's bad, but you gotta be aware of it because it's the truth. And speaking of truth, let's talk about some Scientology nuts. Some good screwballs we got in Scientology. God, I love these stories. In Scientology Nut News, large geoglyphs are in the surface of the New Mexican desert have been discovered by an Albuquerque news channel. Now, if you go there, follow this link, you'll see the satellite photographs of these glyphs. Turns out the glyphs mark the location of a subterranean archive complex built into a mountainside by the Church of Scientology. The futuristic archive was constructed to protect the works of L. Ron Hubbard, the late science fiction writer who founded the church in the 1950s. The archive project, which the church has acknowledged, includes engraved Hubbard's writings on stainless steel tablets and then encasing them in titanium capsules. Can you fucking imagine? Ironically, this is exactly what I've been doing with my old build blog post. Yeah, I do that with all my old stuff, too. That's what the guy said on his LiveJournal, or his blog post here. From the Washington Post, it said, buried in these New Mexico hills, in steel-lined tunnels, said to be able to survive a nuclear blast is what Scientology considers the future of mankind. ABC's Tom Jarrell said in his report. Seen here for the first time are thousands of metal records stored in heat-resistant titanium boxes and playable on solar-powered turntables, all containing the beliefs of Scientologist founder L. Ron Hubbard. Good God, this is like something literally out of some 1950s H.G. Wells kind of movie. But the deep desert glyphs may not be the only geographical markers. Former Scientologists familiar with Hubbard's teachings on reincarnation say the symbol marks the return point, so loyal staff members know where they can find the founder's works when they travel here from the future or from other places in the universe. As a lifetime staff member, you sign a billion-year contract. It's not just symbolic, said Bruce Hines of Denver, who spent 30 years in Scientology but is now critical of it. The fact that they would etch this into the desert to be seen from space fits into the whole ideology. Holy crap! That's fucking psycho. I mean, this whole thing is about as sci-fi psychotic as you can get. I mean, how fucked is that, really? Now, maybe it's not fucked. You know, I mean, why not? I mean, what's the difference between that and, say, you know, the big rock over there in Mecca? Or, say, the Vatican? Or, say, Stonehenge, for that matter? I mean, at least Stonehenge, you know, has a point, but whatever. Maybe this is something that I should consider with, you know, creating my own little world. You know, talking about that military religion thing on the go and all the rest of it. Maybe if I was to create a militant, you know, Warhammer 40K society, that's something we should do. I don't know, man. I have no idea. But when you consider, well, when I consider the corporation religions, the Scientology cult, and the other psychosis of religions around the world, makes me kind of want to spur myself into action. Of course, then again, you know, what's the solution to, you know, all these different ideologies? More ideologies. I don't know. It's kind of a bad scene. Speaking of ideologies, in Mud Hut News. Now, let me get through this story, and I'm probably going to surprise a few people with this one. In Montgomery, Alabama, the phrase "God bless America" would be added to Alabama's already crowded license plates if a bill proposed by the state legislature becomes law. State Republican Stephen Hurst, D. Mumford, that's his area, has pre-filed a bill in the Alabama House that would require most Alabama car tags to include the phrase "God bless America." Some specialty license plates and motorcycle tags would be exempt. Hurst said he got the idea when he saw the words "God bless America" on a specialty prisoner of war car tag. Interesting. I thought, why don't we do the same thing for all tags in the state of Alabama? That will let the people in America know that we are a Bible Belt state, Hurst said. The phrase comes from the Irving Berlin song, "God Bless America." The song was made famous by singer Kate Smith since the September 11th terrorist attacks has replaced "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" as a tune most often sung during the seventh inning stretch of Major League Baseball games. Hurst said, "God Bless America" would not replace anything currently on the Alabama car tags. State law requires the phrase "Heart of Dixie" be on the Alabama plates. "Heart of Dixie" historically appeared at the top of the plates, but was moving to the bottom of the tag when the former governor, Don Singelman, had the plates redesigned to put "Stars Fell on Alabama," also a song title, at the top. So it says "Stars Fell on Alabama," "Heart of Dixie," and now it'll say, have the third one saying "God Bless America." Hurst said he believes the plates could be designed so there'd be room for "God Bless America" without removing "Heart of Dixie" or "Stars Fell in Alabama." God, how about we mix it up there? What do we? How about "God Bless the Stars That Fell on the Heart of Dixie in America"? There you go. There have been efforts recently by some. This is according to the thing. There have been efforts recently by some black lawmakers to remove "Heart of Dixie" from car tags because they view it as a reference to the segregated South. "This God Bless America doesn't have anything to do with anything already on the tag," Hurst said. "Here we are in times of 9/11, times of war and terrorists. It's time for the nation to pull together, and I think something that reflects how the majority of Alabamans feel." Carol Moore of Columbia, president of the Atheist Law Center, said her organization would oppose Hurst's bill. What a shock. The president of the Atheist Law Center doesn't like it. "It is entirely inappropriate to have it plastered all over license plates. We have enough license plate now that we don't need something else," Moore said. "We have a lot more serious problems in Alabama than what's on the license plates. We need to make sure our children in public schools can read what's already on the license plates." Hurst's bill won't be the only measure introduced in the regular session, which begins in January, that calls for putting God's name in a public place. Republican Jimmy Martin said he plans to reintroduce a bill that would permit the posting of "In God We Trust" in classroom walls in Alabama public schools. Martin said he hasn't seen Hurst's bill, but likes the idea. The concept of "God Bless America" sounds like a good idea. The bill to post "In God We Trust" on classroom walls has been introduced in the last 2 years, but hasn't received final passage. Martin said he believes putting the words on classrooms' walls will help restore discipline in schools. This is a quote now. "Anybody who recognizes God will be respectful to everyone," Martin says. Okay, now, I don't really have a problem with having... Why do you have to make it mandatory? That's something that I have here. You know, I don't think it should be mandatory that everyone has to have that. You know, why not just make it a choice, you know? You can either have "Heart of Dixie" or "God Bless America" or whatever. You know, one of those three phrases. What would you like? Would you like one of them? Would you like all of them? Would you like none of them? You know, that way people don't have to claim that, you know, if you're an atheist and you got God Bless America on your plate and you're like, oh, wow. Now, there's a bunch of different issues here. I don't really have a problem with writing some shit on the walls. You know, if they want to put, you know, in God we trust on classroom walls. On one hand, you think, well, you got to separate church and state, right? And a classroom is where you're learning. You got science, all that kind of stuff. So it'd be kind of pointless to have, like, a, you know, a classroom lab and having God we trust in the classroom when, you know, clearly, you know, we're having to deal with science and religion and science. Well, you know, they're kind of at odds a little bit. Or are they? You know, there's people who claim they're not. Now, even though I would say there are overwhelming odds that the whole God thing is full of shit. Okay, but I am not so pig-headed as to not state that I could be wrong. Because I could. You know, Jesus could appear unto me, I could lose my fucking mind, and I would be like, holy crap, it's all true. So, if it's not really hurting anybody, and this is where it gets dangerous, I mean, why not have, you know, a Ten Commandments monument? You know, I mean, if America was founded using Christian principles, it's part of your history, so what? Suck it up, princess. It's like Christmas. You know what I mean? Christmas has always been Christmas. Go, if you don't believe in God, so what? Say a couple prayers. It's not going anywhere. Who gives a shit? Bow your head. Say some grace. Be respectful. Try to learn a little bit of tolerance. You know, and the whole point of the whole goddamn thing is not to, you know, fuck anybody over. That's the whole plan here. You know, people get offended so easy, you know. People get pissed. Oh, I don't want that there. Why not? Well, it offends me. So what? So it offends you. Don't look at it. Being offended, I mean, that's you're taking offense. We didn't give offense. You know, I mean, that's theft. I don't understand how, you know, people are just seem to be way, way too sensitive. I don't know how to really put that out there other than say, you know, toughen up, princess. The world is a funny place. The only place you're ever going to get any kind of peace and joy out of anything is what you believe in. If you happen to believe in this, that, the other thing, that's fine. Okay, provided it's not hurting you or hurting other people. I'll put that statement in there. Provided it is not hurting you or hurting other people. Nazis want to hurt other people. Islamofascists want to hurt other people. Psycho-Christians want to hurt other people. So we have a problem with that. But, you know, if you want to teach your kids about how, you know, there's a great spaghetti monster and he loves you and he wants you to do well, so that's why you should do well in school, that's a parenting decision. And as they get older, like Santa Claus, they'll learn that maybe there isn't, you know, the great spaghetti monster, whatever. But it's your call. I don't really see a huge fucking problem with having a couple of monuments around with some rules on them that come from religious backing. I don't think it's hideous. I don't think we should be teaching intelligent design in schools because that's a totally separate issue. But, you know, if people want to believe in religion, that's fine. Fine. Fill your fucking boots. Load out. Most of those religious people can really cook, too. I'll draw that in. So that's kind of a plus for the whole religion thing. Of all the things I'll say for religion, big plus, man, those old, like, you know, Baptist grandmas and shit like that, fuck, those people can cook. Anyway, it's like, I would state that, you know, if you want to believe in stuff, that's fine, provided it doesn't hurt you and doesn't hurt other people, but don't go mixing it up with church and state. We got to draw that line. So some people would say, well, they're putting God Bless America on the tag. Sean, how much more mixture of our church and state can you get? Blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah, I suppose, but you got to bear in mind, America was founded by Christian principles. And if some people would like, if you want to choose to put that and make that a choice for people to put on their plate, fair ball. You know, I'm pretty sure that if you had a choice of gods, if you had like Allah Bless America on the license plate, you want to see something that would piss off Muslims? Well, not one. Actually, I digress. Not to piss off Muslims, but would piss off the Islamofascist extremist crowd. Put Allah Blesses America. Make like pro Allah Loves America, you know, posters everywhere. Wow, would that piss them off? Just a thought. But what I'm saying here is that people get offended too easily on all sides of the coin. That includes the atheist crowd as well as the Christian crowd. As, you know, the whole atheist thing, you can't be sitting there saying, you fucking Christians all mad because you don't like my music. Fuck you. Well, they want to, you're just as bad as they are if you tell them that you don't want to put up a little monument somewhere. See what I'm saying? Try to be the bigger, try to be the better person. Now, in mind control news, this is a disturbing story because of the science it shows. Some couples may disagree, but romantic love lasts little more than a year, Italian scientists believe. Now, the Italians discovered this. The University of Pavia found a brain chemical was likely to be responsible for the flush of love. Researchers said raised levels of a protein was linked to feelings of euphoria and dependence experienced in the start of a relationship. But after studying people in a long and short relationships and single people found the levels receded in time. Now, this particular report links it to the actual protein. It names the protein called NGF, okay? Is what when the NGF protein's levels go up, you know, they have that elated I'm in love feeling going on. But when it goes down, it kind of goes away. Now, if they can synthesize that protein, okay, if they can synthesize that, turn it into something that's like an aerosol, imagine what would happen if they put that and they mix that little protein into, say, the new car smell. People would fall, literally, they would have this overwhelming love for their cars. People already get weird about their cars. Cars, people get fucking weird about their cars, okay? So imagine people doing stuff like this. I'd like to know who funded that study and what they're going to do with the research, because I could see that being used as, well, psychological warfare on the greater populace of the planet. Now, in transhumanist news, this guy here, Ray Kurzweil, has enormous faith in science. He takes 250 dietary supplements every day, so he's right into it. He's sure that computers will make him much, much cleverer within decades. He won't rule out being able to live forever. Even if medical technology cannot prevent life from passing from the body, he thinks there's a good chance we'll be able to secure immortality by downloading the contents of his enhanced brain before he dies. What is more, he says predictions have tended to come true. You can predict certain aspects of the future. It turns out that certain things are remarkably predictable. Measures of IT, price, performance, capacity, in many different fields, follow very smooth evolutionary progress. So if you ask me the price of performance of computers in 2010, or how much it will cost to sequence base pairs of DNA in 2012, I can give you a figure that's likely to be accurate. The Age of Intelligent Machines, this guy who wrote it, he wrote it in the 80s, has hundreds of predictions about the 90s, and they worked out quite well. Though he has written some of the defining texts of modern futurology, Kurzweil is not just a theorist. He has decades of experience as an inventor. He goes on talking about a singularity, his current big idea, an idea first proposed by computer scientist and science fiction writer Werner Vinge, expounded by Kurzweil in his new book, The Singularity is Near. When humans transcend biology. Now, this is where it gets a little bit fucked up. The nub of Kurzweil's argument is that technology is evolving so quickly that in the near future, humans and computers will, in effect, meld to create a hybrid, a biomechanical life form that will extend our capabilities unimaginably. This is cyborgs. By 2020, he says, $1,000 worth of computer will equal the processing power of a human brain. Wow. By the late 2020s, we will have reverse-engineered human brains. What form will the computer take by the middle of the century? A kind of superhuman clone that has, or just terrific prosthesis? I would lean more towards the prosthesis side, not prosthetic device that just fixes problems like a wooden leg, but something that allows us to extend our capabilities. Because we're going to merge with this technology by 2030... We will have achieved machinery that equals and exceeds human intelligence, and we're going to be able to combine these machines rather than just competing with them. The machines will be inserted into our bodies via nanotechnology. They'll go inside our brains through the capillaries and a large human intelligence. Kind of scary shit. It sounds creepily wonderful, but humans will have political and social structures to accommodate and control these super enhanced technologies. Will they have them? Look at the problem that stem cell research is currently having in America. This is one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of the whole, Ghost in the Shell thing going on there. It's a lot of interesting stuff coming down the pipe. And it would be good for us to be ready for it when it does arrive. I'm not too sure what exactly is going to happen in the future, but I would like to be ready for it. So following, trying to keep, the finances under control, trying to make a little bit of money, trying to keep track of, make sure you're in a position where you'll be able to exploit this technology, that'd be pretty good, I think. Something that people should probably consider doing. As a WOG and as a human being, I'd say why not? Today's daily hack is some handheld apps for the Pocket PC. Very, very cool, considering I just got my hand on a Pocket PC. So that's all slick. And they're pretty neat. They're pretty neat. I got the Wi-Fi card in mine, and I'm running around trying to send and receive email. I like it a lot. And that's all. Thanks again to Dual Parallel for that groovy little Pocket PC. You sexy bitch. And that's all I have for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 65 people, 11 one-time donators, 52 continuing subscribers, and 2 new subscribers for a total of 65. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Thanks again to everyone in their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the Crow soundtrack. Great old movie. Make sure you check it out. And I'm going to leave you now with a track by Jane Sidbury called It Can't Rain All the Time. Kind of a down-tempo track, but a good song. So until tomorrow, that's What Server Said. End of line.
We walk the narrow path beneath the smoking skies. Sometimes barely tell the difference between darkness and light. Do we have faith? The truest test is when we cannot see. I hear pounding feet in the streets below, and the women crying, and the children know that there's something wrong. It's hard to believe that love will prevail. Oh, it won't rain all the time. The sky won't fall forever. And though the night seems long, your tears won't. Your tears won't fall. darkest despair.
Till I felt safe and warm, I fell asleep in your arms.
Until I felt safe and warm, I fell asleep.